I'll do it because I have to. Okay. Well, I'm excited to share the message today. Once again, I believe this is a prophetic message for the moment, for the hour. We did have a great service last Sunday. Again, we finished the study in the book of Acts, but the book of Acts we know is not closed. It's an open book. And we did enter in. I believe we entered into something. There was incredible, strong presence and ministry at the end of service, second service last week. And we know that God is taking us to another level. And so today I want to talk to you, and it's a prophetic message about going to the next level. This is not only for us corporately as a body, but it's for you as an individual as well. That God wants to take you to another level. Let me explain to you, and then I'm going to give you six steps that will help you to go to the next level. Let's go ahead and look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. After this, the Apostle John is speaking. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter, or things that shall come. And so John is having this supernatural experience with the living God. This is not something natural. He was caught up into an experience, and there was this voice that sounded like a trumpet speaking to him. It was the voice of God. And God speaks to him and says, come up hither. In other words, there was an invitation to the Apostle John to transcend, to come up to another realm or another level, to come up. Everybody say up. Say come up. And so when I looked up this word up this morning in the cafe before I came out here, it's a simple word, but it actually means to transition from a lower to a higher place, plane, or realm. To transition from a lower place to a higher place. And here the voice of God is speaking to his man, and we see the will of God for John was to come up from a lower place into another place that is higher, another level per se. And John, in this level, according to the words of Jesus, John would have a perspective that would be different than what his perspective was at the lower level. In the new level, there would be a new perspective. For the Lord said, I will show you things which will come hereafter. So at this new level that God wanted to take his man, there would come a new vantage point. There would come a new way of seeing things. There would come a new perspective that would be different from the perspective that John is currently experiencing in life. So God wanted to give John a new experience from a higher level. He wanted John, we could say, to ascend, to advance, to progress. That's really what it means when God says, come up hither. And so, folks, when I read this, I hear a prophetic message. I sense God wanting to speak to us, that God wants to give us the same exact invitation to each one of us, that wherever we are in our experience in life, that the Lord is wanting us to come up hither. He wants us to move from where we currently are to another level. He wants to lift you. He wants to elevate you. He wants to promote you. He wants to move you up, 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 and even up until ultimately you will ascend into the heights of glory, which is heaven itself. There is this continual movement of God. This is the nature of God. God never wants you to stand still in time. He is a God of movement. He is a God of growth. He is a God of ascension. He is a God of glory. In fact, in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that God wants to take us from glory to glory, from one realm of glory to a higher realm of glory, to a higher realm of glory. And so there is this invitation for us, wherever we are in our experience in life, God is saying, come up hither, come up hither, come up hither, come up to another level, come up to a new plane. I want to give you a new perspective. I want you to see things from a different vantage point. I want you to have a new experience. And so, folks, there is this nature of God that takes us from glory to glory until we ultimately ascend into the heights of glory. And that happens at our death. When we die, we reach the ultimate glory, folks. But this is the nature of God, that He takes us from glory to glory. And so when I read this, I hear the invitation of God to move us up. And so when I think about this, I've got to ask the question, where does another level begin for me? Where is the starting point? Where does another level begin? It begins with realizing that there is more for your life than you are currently experiencing. It begins with believing that there really is another level. Because if you don't believe that there's another level, you will never rise to another level. So you have to begin this whole journey of ascension by believing that whatever you're experiencing in life, in this moment, that there is more. You were born for more than this, and it's available to you. God does not want you to stand still in time. Wherever you are today, there are steps that you could take to raise you up to another level, whether it's increase or growth or advancement, experience, anointing, revelation, influence, intimacy with God, effectiveness, prayer, freedom in our life. God wants to take you to another level. He wants things to change and not remain the same. Wherever you are in life, whatever context you are in, He wants to lift you up, give you a new vantage point, a new perspective, a new experience. So, folks, we are created by God to excel. We are created by God to grow. The very fact that every living thing grows is ample proof to us that we are not created to stay the same. We're not created to be a stick in the mud all of our life. We are created to change. We are created to be challenged. We are created to be stretched. We are created to reach higher, go deeper, move ahead, advance. We are not created to remain the same, to be stagnant, to be stuck, to just exist, to be complacent, to be bored. If we're bored, we need a new experience. If we're bored, we're stuck in time. If we're bored, we need to know that God wants to take us to another level. It'll give you an expectation. You can't be bored and go to another level. And so many of us are stuck. And we're not only stuck, but many of us don't even care that we are stuck. Well, for the person who's stuck and really doesn't give a flip that they're stuck, there's no hope for you. Forget about another level. But on the other hand, there are people that are stuck. They know they're stuck, but they don't want to be stuck. And for them, I've got something to share with you today. And it starts with this. You've got to believe the nature of God, that wherever you are, God wants to move you. He wants to change you. He wants to increase you and move you and take you to another realm and level. It's waiting for you. Six steps. I only got three out in the first service. We'll see how it goes. But six steps to take me and you to another level. The first one is sanctification. That's a theological word, but simply it means to be apart, set apart. to be separated from. If you are interested at all in advancing and moving to another level in God, then you're going to have to get good at this. Sanctification is an absolute requirement for you to go to the next level. In Joshua chapter 3, we can clearly see God's people are poised and preparing and waiting to go to another level. In other words, God made it known to them that He was going to take them up. He was going to move them forward. He was going to advance them into something new. He was going to give them a new experience. He was going to give them a new way of seeing things. He was going to elevate them in Joshua chapter 3. But they first had to be poised. They first had to prepare. And this is the word from Joshua to the Hebrew people in the wilderness. In Joshua chapter 3 verse 5, Joshua said, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." In other words, the people were about to collide with their destiny. The people were about to move into something new. They were about to be elevated into from the wilderness into the promised land. Folks, that's a step up. That's another level. That's what I'm talking about. And so prophetically speaking, many of us are in the wilderness. We're barely getting by. We're bored with life as it is. And God is saying, I want to take you. I want to move you. I want to show wonderful things in your life in the days to come. Tomorrow or in the future or in the near future, I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to move you from one place to another, from one step to another. You're going to rise up to another level. I will show wonders among you tomorrow. And so there was something more awaiting the Hebrews than the wilderness. Something better that they could have ever imagined. They couldn't even imagine what God had in store for them. It was an upgrade. It was another level. It was to expand their territory. It was new opportunities. It was a new perspective, a land, God said, that flows with milk and honey. It was the next level land. That's what it was. But before they could step up, the call was to sanctify yourselves. I'm going to give you the word of God today. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord requires us to sanctify ourselves first before the Lord does the wonderful things tomorrow and gives us the step up. And so this is the same for you and I. God has something new for you, for me, beyond our wildest imagination, another level, an upgrade. But He calls us first. Sanctify yourselves. Now this, I want you to understand what's going on here in Joshua 3. This is the second generation of Hebrews that came out of Egypt. Not the first generation that died in the wilderness and never entered into this land. This is their children. This is the second generation of Israelites that left Egypt, the bondage, the slavery. And this second generation, they were a generation of faith. I mean, they were a new breed generation. They learned a lot from the mistakes of their parents. Their parents had died in the wilderness because they chose retreating over advancing. They chose comfort over risk. They chose the status quo over their destiny. And because of this, they were stuck. Folks, they were stuck for 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness, the land of scarcity, the land of barely getting by. It was never God's will that they stay in this land, in this level, in this realm, for 40 long years until the generation died out. They settled for the old and they died with regret. But now in Joshua 3, the second generation, their children, stood at the same threshold of another level. And Joshua, their commander in chief, gathers them together and he says, sanctify yourselves because tomorrow you're going to get the upgrade. They had to do something with where they were in that moment that would prepare them for the next level. And so when we talk about sanctifying yourself, it denotes a preparation, a bringing order to, or rearranging something, or bringing arrangement to something for something new. So there's change happening in a sanctification. More specifically, it means to set apart, to make holy, to separate, or to step over the line. It also means to leave something behind. Step over the line, leave something behind. So we can also define sanctification like that, to leave something behind and cleave to something ahead. You see, folks, there are some things that we just cannot take with us in the next level. I mean, that's just a fact. It's right here. Sanctification means you gotta let go of something behind in order to cleave to something ahead. You cannot go to the next level in God. You cannot get your upgrade by taking everything from behind with you into the future. It's just not going to happen. There are some things you got to let go. There are some things that you got to snip from your life. There are some things you've got to shave from your life. This sanctification is a preparation time to identify what is the Lord requiring of me to go to the next level. That's what was happening. It was a sober examination. What is it that I need to let go in order to go to the next level? And so what this is saying is that this was something they had to do. God couldn't do this for them. Well, God's the Almighty God. He's got all the power in the world. Of course, he could get them into the promised land. No. God couldn't do it. I mean, it doesn't say God's going to sanctify you. Joshua said, sanctify yourselves. The onus is on me and you. It's something we have to do. God's not going to do it for us. So God will put his finger on something. God will give us revelation of something. God will speak to a person to us and the light bulb will go off. There's something that I've got to let go. There's a change I've got to make. There's order I have to bring in my life that is out of order. I've got to make some changes in order to move forward, in order to step up to the next level. So they had to determine what this meant for them as an individual. What was God requiring of them individually? They had to examine themselves. They had to look within. They had to look at their thoughts, their inner life, their motives, their actions. They had to determine what they needed to let go. And so it's going to cost us something, the next level. God will always require something of us when he wants to take us into a higher place. So what is God saying to us? If you feel like God isn't requiring anything of you, then you are either lost or very disinterested in next level. But if you feel like God is wanting to promote you and move you into another realm, if you know that in your spirit that you were born for more than this, then you're going to feel a stirring of the Lord and God's going to be speaking to you. He's going to be putting his finger on some things you've got to let go. You can't take everything with you into the next level. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded with a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside, let go of every weight and sin that easily ensnares us. And then the rest of it says, and let us move forward and run in patience. So once again, we see this principle of next level. We got to let something go. And here it's talking about let it aside. Let it go. What? The weight and the sin. Now, sin we can all kind of figure out, right? It's when we violate the nature of God, the Word of God, and we just feel sick about it, and we feel guilty, and we feel convicted. We know when we sin. All of us do. Okay? So sin we could easily identify. And it's sin that ensnares you. Sin just keeps you stuck in time. You cannot even move. You are imprisoned when you live a life of sin. But now, it says, lay aside not only the sin, but the weight. See, weights aren't sin. Come on, say that. Say, weights aren't sin. Weights aren't sin, but weights, I will tell you right now, by even the fact of using the word weights, weights make you tired. They hold you back. They keep you from moving forward. You may not be like stuck in time, but they will exhaust you. Weights will hold you back. And so the exhortation, the prophetic exhortation right here, is that you not only identify the sin that ensnares you, but the weights that are holding you back. So we've got to identify what a weight is. Well, a weight may be something different for you than it is for me. A weight is something that adds no value to your life, but you're involved in it. A weight is an energy zapper in your life. It's a habit. It's something that you're doing, that you're just doing it for the pleasure of the moment, but it really adds no value into your life. Or a weight is just something that just kind of distracts you of your time or of your energy, or just kind of, you know, moves you off course and constantly derails you from going in the right direction. Whatever it is, you got to find out. What are the weights in your life that are holding you back and weighing you down and making you exhausted and zapping you of your focus and your energy? You're going to have to identify it, and then you're going to have to let it go if you want to go up to the next level. You're going to have to cut it out of your life if you want to move up. And so I will say it this way, we have to give up in order to go up. And that's what Hebrews 12 is telling us. We got to give up in order to go up. There's no going up unless you're willing to give something up. And so, again, I have to define and determine what it is that I need to let go of. So Joshua tells them to sanctify yourselves. He knew another level was on the horizon. And then he says, for tomorrow the Lord will do great and wonderful things among you. In other words, God's going to break you out from where you are and move you to another level. You were born for more than this. Number two, real quick, right alignments. Right alignments. If you are going to go to the next level, you will need to have right alignments right now. Not when you get to the new level, now. Before God does wonderful things among you. You need, when I talk about alignments, I'm talking about alignments with people. I'm talking about associations. I'm talking about relationships. It is a fact. It is true. Mark it down. If you want to soar with the eagles, you can't hang around with the turkeys. Pastor Rob, that doesn't sound Christian-like. That sounds pretty mean. Would you call some Christians turkeys? Yeah. Turkeys with no vision, just seed peckers, just kind of wandering around. I mean, God loves them. We need to love turkeys. But I'm talking about hanging around. You're never going to soar with the eagles if you're just hanging around with the turkeys. And that's a fact of life. In fact, that's Bible. That's Scripture as well. Wrong associations will hold you back. It will stunt your growth. It will sidetrack you. They can even be Christian associations. Folks, we need to align our lives with people that will release a flow in our life, that will cause movement in our lives to move us forward and step us up. And so we've got to make alignments with people who are already at the place where we want to go. And that's the problem. We like to hang around people that are just like us. If I'm a turkey, I feel more comfortable hanging around with turkeys. I mean, eagles, they threaten me. I mean, they got so much faith. They got so much vision. They're always talking about the future. I mean, it makes me uncomfortable. I'd rather just hang around with turkeys. Let's just have a turkey party. I don't ever want to leave my comfort zone of hanging with the turkeys. Listen, if you want to go to the next level, you need to identify the people that are around your life that you can associate with that are already at the place that you want to go. Because unless you do, you'll never be challenged. You'll never be inspired. You'll have no impartation and grace that will be imparted to you from other people. You need an impartation. You need grace that comes through an association. When you hang around the Eagles, when you hang around someone who is already where you want to go, there is an impartation that comes through that association and alignment to inspire you to step up to the next level. This isn't like just me making up these points here. This is Bible stuff. In Numbers chapter 11, we don't have it on the overhead, but listen, in Numbers chapter 11, God wanted to advance the 70 elders that served with Moses. God wanted to take the 70 elders to another level, to a new realm, a new plane of effectiveness and authority and ministry and anointing. God wanted to upgrade the 70 elders to a whole new level, a whole new experience, a whole new perspective. And so here's how God did it. God says to Moses, Moses, take the 70 elders and stand before me with them, and I will come down. And Moses, he says, I will take what is on you, and I will put it onto the 70 elders. One translation says, Moses, I will take the spirit that is on you, and I will put it on. Put what on? The spirit that's on you, the presence that's on you, the anointing and grace that's on you, Moses. I'm going to put it on the 70 elders. I'm going to raise them up. And then God says, so that they can bear the burden of ministry with you, so that they can come alongside of you. In other words, God was saying he was going to raise the 70 elders up to be at the level where Moses was in effectiveness, in ministry, in anointing. Some people say, well, that's heresy, man. That's heresy. Why would God take something that's on a human and put it on another human? No, what God was taking on Moses was the Spirit of God. It was the smear and anointing of God. It was the grace of God. It was the supernatural rub on God that God got straight. Moses got straight from God, and God said, I'm going to take it from you, Moses. Put it on them. It's going to elevate them up to the next level. And so there is an impartation through our associations, as we could see right here. There is an impartation. When you hang around with the Eagles, there's an impartation through the association that will raise you up to another level of effectiveness, another level of glory. Come on now. If you don't believe that, you just got to flip over to the New Testament. Because the same way it works for the good is the same way it works for bad. And what it says in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, bad associations corrupt good character and morals. It just works in the opposite. Bad associations, bad alignments corrupt character, the way you think, your thought life, the way you see things, the way you talk, your actions, good morals, one translation says. And so right alignments are critically important. I love what Ryan LaStrange said in one of his Periscope teachings. He talked about the importance of having oily alignments in your life or associations. In other words, he said, find alignments and associations with people who have oil. Now, oil speaks about the Holy Spirit. It speaks about God. So he's talking about alignments. When we're in alignment with someone, it's like a joint fitting with another joint. And when there is oil in that alignment, there's a flow. There's something happening. There's easy movement. I mean, it's just easy when you got the right alignments with people. When you have an oily alignment, there's just something that moves. It's something that flows. It's easy. We got to look for the oily alignments. It doesn't mean that you don't love the people who don't have oily or don't have oil on their life. It doesn't mean that you don't accept them and love them and believe the best for them. We're talking about your close associates. We're talking about somebody that wants to go to another level. We're talking about someone who will pay the price to go from glory to glory. You're going to need an oily alignment with someone. Look for oily alignments. And when you don't have an oily alignment and you're joined to someone, joint to joint, there's friction. There's pain. There's difficulty. You're going nowhere. So we've got to identify what are oily alignments and what are dry alignments, hard alignments, alignments that aren't adding anything to our lives except they're holding us back. They're frustrating us, causing us pain. You got to disassociate. Doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean you don't accept them. It just means that they're not good for where God wants to take you. They're not right for where God wants to take you. When you look at the life of Jesus, I mean, I know I said this a few weeks ago, but Jesus chose his close associations. Loved everyone. He died for everyone as Savior. But he didn't align himself with everyone. He didn't take everybody into his inner circle. He was very calculating in choosing his associations. When Paul came into Timothy's life and helped him move to another level and then another level, Timothy's alignment with Paul had an impartation from Paul to Timothy that launched Timothy to another level. Look at it in the scripture. In fact, Paul said this about Timothy in Philippians 2 verse 20. He said that there's nobody like Timothy who was like-minded like me. In other words, there was oil in their relationship. They thought similar. They had the same spirit, the same attitude, the same vision. There was oil. Listen, you cannot hook up. You cannot join yourself in covenant with someone who is going in totally a different, opposite direction than you and expect to go to a different level. You can't do it. And so Paul says he's like-minded like me. He has the same mind. There is an oily alignment. And so again, we've got to find people whose lives challenge us. Whose lives challenge us to go to the place where they are. They're above us, not like us. They're above us. And that influence will elevate us to another level. Number three, real quick, right thinking. Now, let me say something else. You will never rise above and beyond what you think. Pastor Rob, now you sounded new agey now on me. You know that new agey stuff? Just everything's about the thoughts and the mind. Let me say it again. You will never rise above your thinking. This is a universal principle. Not just for Christians. And here's what God says in Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks, so is he. In other words, he's saying your limitation in life will be right here. If you think you can't, be assured you won't. It doesn't matter how powerful God is. If you think you can't, be assured you won't. If you think you'll never succeed, if you think you don't have what it takes, if you think that you are a failure, guess what? That will be your limitation in life. That's going to be your ceiling. Your stinking thinking will be your glass ceiling. It's not just about God's ability. It's about you renewing your mind. In fact, the Bible says to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has to change. We got to think like champions. We got to think the way God sees us. We've got to look at ourselves the way God looks at us. We've got to believe what God says about us. We've got to change the way that we think. We've got to change our mind. When I think about the first generation of Hebrews that came out of Egypt, there were two mindsets that they had to overcome if they were going to move into the next level land. Two mindsets. Pastor Rob, you mean that with God's almighty power, that their mindsets held them back from going to the next level in the promised land? Yes. They died in the wilderness. The first generation died off in the wilderness, never stepping into God's best for their life, never getting their upgrade, never going to the next level that God had prepared for them because of their stinking thinking. It's crazy, man. The two mindsets that held them back, I'm going to give them to you right now. It's the victim mindset and the poverty mindset. Both mindsets, victim mentality, poverty mentality, in this case, they're both understandable. What do I mean by that? Well, they just spent 400 years, all these generations, in slavery, in chains, living under the oppression of the pharaohs, as slaves, in Egypt, the land of slavery. I mean, it's understandable when you think about it. But it's not acceptable. Choo! You know, some things can be understandable, and I get it. I know, I get what you've gone through. But it's not acceptable. And when it's not acceptable, it means that you've had enough time to change your thinking and break those patterns in your mind. You've had everything that God has given you. You've had the word of the Lord. You've had the Spirit of God. You've had people surround your life. And the reason why they never let go of those two mindsets is because they didn't want to. Not because they couldn't. So in one sense, it's understandable. But in another sense, it was not acceptable. The victim mindset, real quick. When you are a victim of adverse circumstances over a long period of time, like them, living in trauma, abuse, it will affect the way that you view yourself. It will affect the way that you think about yourself. If you grow up in a long period of time under those adverse circumstances, it will affect your self-image. It'll affect your inner image of who you are. I'll tell you how powerful this is in this statement. You will never rise above the way you think about yourself. You will never rise above the way that you see yourself. That's also a glass ceiling. When the first generation of the children of Israel were at the door of the promised land, the Lord commanded them, send two spies into the land and check the land out. And when you come back, make sure you bring some of the fruit of the land so that everybody could see it was just the way I said it would be. And the spies went out into the land. They spied out the land of Canaan. They came back. Left the land of Canaan, came back to the congregation and Moses, and they brought some of the fruit, these big, juicy, huge grapes that you've never seen in your life. They were so heavy, these grapes, they had to be carried on the shoulder of both spies. Big branch of grapes. When they got back to the congregation, here's what they said, basically, yeah, it's a bountiful land, look at all these grapes. I mean, it's just like the Lord said, look, we got a little jar of honey. There's a jar of milk. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's a rich land. It's a prosperous land. It's an incredible land, just like God said. But one thing, there are incredible giants in the land, and we cannot go in and take it. The giants are so big, and here's what they said. Follow me. The giants are so big that when they saw us, we were grasshoppers in their sight. Not only that, but we were also grasshoppers in our own sight. They had the word of the Lord. God said, it's a land that's already yours. Cross over. Take it. I will be with you every step of the way. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. You can conquer this land. You've got everything that it takes to go into this realm, into this level, to have your own land. It's yours for the taking. But when we saw the giants, we were grasshoppers in our own sight. They had a grasshopper mentality, folks. They thought little of themselves. Even with the word of the Lord, it didn't matter. The image they had about themselves trumped the word of the Lord. I'll say it again. The image you have about yourself is so powerful that it will trump the word of the Lord in your life. And so if you want to go to the next level, you're going to have to get delivered from the victim mentality. You're going to have to let God heal something on the inside of you, restore your self-image. You have to change the way you think about yourself and start thinking about yourself the way God sees you, and let God heal you, because you will never rise above that victim mentality. You've got to rise above it to go to the next level. I'll only touch on this real quick, the poverty mentality. That's a scarcity mindset, a just get by, bare minimum mentality. You ever talk about to anybody who came out of the Great Depression, out of those adverse circumstances for a long time, living under that oppression and that poverty? They struggle with this. Oh, they're not the only ones that struggle with it. A lot of people, most people struggle with the poverty mentality, a scarcity mentality, a barely get by mentality. So for them, you know, we can kind of understand it, because they spent 400 years as slaves in bondage. God got them out of Egypt physically through the deliverance, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. That's something they had to do. They had Egypt right here in their mind, a poverty mentality. God could get them physically into a different location, but he couldn't get them into the promised land, because the poverty mentality fought it tooth and nail and held them back, just like the victim mentality. And every time they hit a bump in the road, every time they experienced the trial, the first thing they said, God, why did you take us out of this land? I want to go back to Egypt. At least we had a cot to sleep in. At least we had a blanket at night. At least we had food to fill our bellies. I would much rather live in the land of predictability and scarcity than to live in the land of unpredictability and risk-taking and having more than enough. The land of abundance is a land of unpredictability. It's the land that you're going to have trust. It's the land that you're going to have faith in God. But at least you're not living in Egypt, folks. And so that's where the first generation gave up. They just turned it over. They settled for Egypt over the land of Canaan. Let me give you another one real quick. This one's very similar. This one is right attitudes. If you want to go to the next level, you just might have to change your attitude. Now, here's the principle. Are you ready? Remember this. I won't talk much about this, but listen. You have to have the right attitude for high altitudes. You got to have the right attitude for high altitudes. Now, in this moment of attitude, in an aircraft, there are many different instruments in the aircraft. The most important instrument is the instrument that a pilot has always got to keep his eyes on. He's got to zoom in on it all the time. Because as this instrument goes, so goes the aircraft. You want to know what the name of the instrument is? Attitude indicator. If the pilot wants to go up in altitude, he's got to pull up the attitude. They got a phrase, nose up, means attitude's got to go up in order to go up higher in altitude. They got something called nose down. Put the attitude down, and you're going to go down in altitude. And so if we want to go to the next level, we've got to get good at changing our attitudes. The children of Israel were murmurers. They were complainers. They constantly were overcome by their circumstances, and it calls them to stand still in time. Let me give you another one real quick. Real quick. I'm just going to touch on this. This one is lift up your eyes. If you want to go up, you got to look up. Over 20 times in the scriptures, the Lord says, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes. 4 out of those 20 times, he's speaking specifically to people. Lift up your eyes, his people, lift up your eyes. And every time it denotes, when God says to you, lift up your eyes, it means that you're looking at something that's distracting you. God says, lift up your eyes. When Abraham and Lot divided themselves among each other, they multiplied so much, their cattle and resources was so much, the land could not hold both of them. Abraham said to Lot, Lot, go ahead, just go ahead and go. Take the land that you want to take. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. You choose the right, I'm going to go to the left. You go north, I'll go south. You choose. And so the Bible said that Lot looked, and he looked, and he looked, and he saw the most fruitful land in the valley of Jordan. It was a land that looked like the garden of God. It was the best, the cream of the crop, the best of all the surrounding land. And Lot said, that's the land I want. He picked up all his cattle, all of his resources. He moved to that land. And you know what Abraham was stuck with? Second-rate land. I mean, he got the short end of the stick. He got the leftover land. There was nothing special about this land. I mean, I could imagine Abraham like, man, what the heck did I do? I told him to choose. I should have chose. I mean, look at where he is and look at where I am. I could imagine his discouragement. I could imagine him battling. I mean, just like really frustrated at the land that he's in. God comes on the scene immediately and says, Abraham, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, Abraham. That was saying to Abraham, Abraham, you've got your eyes in the wrong place. Lift up your eyes. You're being distracted. You're being discouraged. Your eyes are in the wrong place. Lift them up. And as far as your eyes can see, Abraham, look all around. The north, the south, the east, and the west. Look all around. As far as you can see where Lot's land is, look at that too. As far as your eyes can see, I'm going to give it to you. All of it. To you and your descendants. But as long as Abraham had his eyes at what was right before him, he was being discouraged. He was being full of fear. He would never step up to the next level. You got to lift up to go up in Jesus' name. Oh, come on now. I'm almost done. Do you remember when Apostle Kelly was here? He said something that never left me. He was trained to be an iron worker on the high, you know, those tall building scrapers, whatever. And this is the way they taught them how to walk on the steel. If you're teaching someone how to walk on steel, you would think you would say, watch your foot, watch your feet as you're walking because you don't want to fall. But they said, never look at your feet. When you're learning how to walk on steel, never look at your feet. Always look at the farthest distance that you're going. Look at your destination. They said, if you look at your feet, your heart's going to be filled with fear. And you're going to be in jeopardy of falling and killing yourself. Look at the point of your furthest destination. And you follow that. Don't look at your feet. And so here Abraham is looking at his feet. He's just looking at what's right before him. His heart was filled with fear and doubt and discouragement. God said, no, man, you're going to fall. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look as far as your eyes could see. I've given you this land. I've given it to you. I've given it to your descendants. It's yours. You've got your eyes in the wrong place. If we want to go up, folks, we got to lift up our eyes. Trust me. Let me give you the last one, and this is the most important. It's fire. Somebody say fire. Fire? Mama, I thought we were talking about going to the next level. I thought we were talking about going to the next realm. I thought we were talking about advancing. No, it's fire. You can't go to the next level without fire. In fact, this is definitely the most important. You cannot go, if you want to go to the next level, you need fire. In Acts chapter 2, it was only after the fire the Holy Ghost came. On the day of Pentecost, while they were in the upper room, for 10 days they waited. When the fire came, the rocket launched the church of Jesus Christ into the world. You have never seen a rocket lift off its pad without fire. And you will never see a rocket go into outer space without fire. You need combustion. You need fire. If you want to go to the next level, you need fire. The fire of God will launch you into the next level. The fire of God is what you need desperately. The fire of God. The fire of God. The American church is in need of fire. For the most part, it's asleep, filled with apathy, lethargy. We're in need of fire. We need a holy passion. We need a zeal from God. We can have our nice churches. We got a lot of nice churches around. We got a lot of great programs in these churches, a lot of great music ministries, a lot of great classes, a lot of great things happening, a lot of great programs. But let me tell you, where's the fire? If we don't have the fire, we can have the greatest churches in the world. We can have the greatest programs in the world. If we don't have fire, there will be no motion. We will become religious systems. We need fire because fire is what burns religious systems to ashes. We need the fire of God, not just a program, not just going through the motions, not just doing the religious thing, not just, doing what we know to do. Without the fire of God, we are a dead people. We are a dead church. We need the fire of God to stoke us. We need the combustion to move us. We need the fire of God. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus visits the churches in Asia. And he visits this one church, a church that lost the fire. They had the building. Doors were open for business. They had great music, great programs, great children's ministry. They had a staff. I mean, they were going through the motions, but there's one thing they didn't have, and it was fire. They had no passion. They had no fire, and Jesus came to visit the church. There hasn't been a time I've ever read this scripture where I didn't feel like a little tremble coming on me. A tremor. A little shaking. And here's what the Lord says to them, the church of Laodicea. The Lord said, I know all the things that you do. I observe your business. You got the right things happening. From the outside, it looks cool. I see it all. I know all of it. And he says, you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You mean like Jesus that had the lamb on his shoulders, Jesus? Jesus that left, right, the 99 to go get the one? Yeah, that same Jesus. I'd rather you just be cold than in the middle. I don't want you to be in the middle because in the middle, you're a fake. In the middle, you got the movements, you got the programs, you got the system. You make like it's all the right, it's religion. You got religion when you're in the middle. You're the fence walker. You're neither hot nor cold. You want to stay in the middle. You don't want to get too radical, yet you don't want to die out. You're kind of you're indifferent. You've got some apathy, some lethargy. You got everything except one thing, the fire of God, the passion of God. The desire of the Lord, the zeal of God. And he said, because you are lukewarm in the middle, I cannot even stand the taste of it. I will spit you out of my mouth. Oh my God. And then he says in verse 20, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. You know what he's telling? He's giving them the solution to stoke the fire once again. He said he's knocking at the door of the church. Do you hear me? Open the door. I want to come in and sup with you and you sup with me. I want to be in covenant with you and in this place. And look at in the secret place with you in intimacy with you and me. I will light a fire again on the inside of you. And there's just something, there's a prerequisite to the fire of God. Are you ready? It's being hungry. It's wanting it. If you don't want it, you'll never have it. God only comes where he's wanted. He only comes to those who want him. He only comes to those who are thirsty. He only comes to those who are really hungry. If you want the fire, God has never turned down someone who was hungry or someone who was thirsty or someone who was desperate or someone who saw their deep need for God. God has never turned down that person. But I tell you what he will turn down. He will turn down laziness and apathy and indifference. He will turn down lethargy. He'll turn it down. He only comes to those who want him. He only comes to those who are hungry. And he said, if you will open the door, I will come in and sup with you. I'll take you into the secret place with me. I will give you intimacy with me, and I will stoke your flame and your fire once again. We need fire for the launch. We need fire for the takeoff. And so in the Old Testament, as we close with this, but don't miss this. In the Old Testament, the fire of God, it was a divine fire. Literally, like if you were there, you'd probably like faint. They would have an altar. God said, put the sacrifice on the altar, and I'll let you know if it's acceptable to me or not. If the heavens crack open and my fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice, it's acceptable to me. That's how they knew whether it was acceptable or not. And so this supernatural fire would come down. It would never, ever, you would never see this fire come down on an empty altar. Only an altar that has a sacrifice on it. The fire is to consume the sacrifice. It's not for the altar. It's to consume the sacrifice. And so we need to be consumed with the fire of God. We are the sacrifice. That's the problem. We say we're the sacrifice, but we never climb upon the altar. We fight the altar. We resist the altar. We don't want to go near the altar because the altar is hunger and desire and surrender and dying to something that you're trying to keep alive that is holding you away from God. That's where the altar is. It's the place of death. And when the sacrifice is laid on the altar, then comes the fire of God. We need to burn with the fire of God once again. There was another fire. Listen, I'm closing right here. In the tabernacle of Moses, there was another altar that had a fire. And on this altar, the Lord commanded and said to them about this altar, the fire must burn continually, day and night. The fire can never go out. Yeah, I'll read it to you. It's right here. Leviticus 6:12, meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. And then it says, each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire. God not only wants us to have fire, but he wants us to have a fire that doesn't go out. I mean, I know what it's like to go through the motions and not have a fire. I've experienced seasons in my life where I just kept on doing the things that I know to do, but I was stuck in a rut and I didn't have the fire. I didn't have the passion. And here the prophetic word for every one of us is, once you catch the fire, it's up to you to keep it aflame. You've got to come out as the priest of God. You've got to put wood every morning upon the altar. You've got to get into God's word. You've got to get into the secret place. You've got to cultivate a desire for God. You've got to press into God. Nobody's going to put the wood on your fire. You've got to do it every morning, every day. And look what it says right here, the closing part of it. Each morning the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. There will be a perpetual fire, and every day there will always be an offering burning on the fire. As long as there is a sacrifice, listen, as long as there is a sacrifice, there is a sacrifice to be burnt and consumed with fire. As long as there is a sacrifice, there will be fire. A word from God to me and you. Listen, I know what happened in the first service. The fire of God is going to come in this altar in 2 minutes. The fire of God. We got to take care of business. Ushers, we're going to go ahead, take care of that offering that we said we were going to receive. Ushers, get ready. Prepare your offering. And it's just so funny how we close on this note of sacrifice. Because we're inviting you to make a sacrificial offering. Wherever there's a sacrifice, it's a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Wherever there's a sacrifice, there's fire. You'll never find anywhere there's a sacrifice without fire in Scripture. Wherever there's a sacrifice, there's fire. So I want to thank you in advance to giving to the cause. I want to thank you for your generosity. And before we receive the offering, I'm going to pray a prayer of faith over you, your family, your finances. That God's fire will come upon this seed that you sow today. God's fire will come upon your sacrifice. You can receive an envelope if you want. If you don't want it, that's fine. But we want to move quickly through this so that we could open up this altar. And the fire of God can come. Let's pray right now. You can take out your smartphones if you want to give through your church app. It's real easy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your provision. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every seed that is sown, every giver that gives in this moment, every giver that steps up to the plate, Lord, for a supernatural return and blessing into their life. Lord, it's just such an irony that we close on this note that was already pre-prepared, the note of sacrifice, in order to go into another level. It applies even to this area of life. Whatever we sacrifice is multiplied back to us. We thank you, we honor you, we bless you, and we decree your word that you provide and meet every need that is represented here in abundance, supernaturally, move on their behalf, return this seed multiple amounts back to their life in the authority of Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the local church. Come on, let's pray this together. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for providing for your house. We thank you for providing for your church. We thank you for funding the vision, everything you've called us to do in this season to be fully funded. We thank you for a release of resources. Lord, you said that you would provide all of our needs according to your riches in glory. So we release your provision now in the glory, in the name of Jesus, to meet every need that's represented in every family, every person in the body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and receive that. Ushers, go ahead and receive that. And then we're going to open up the altar. And I want...